Proverbs 5, verse 8. Remove thy way far from her, come not nigh the door of her house. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you again for the opportunity to be with these guys, Lord. God, thank you for class. Thank you for what we've talked about so far. Lord, I pray you would please, God, help us. Help us to be alert, aware, ready to receive something from you today. Lord, you didn't bring these guys into class to just hear me talk, Lord. God, we are all here to hear something from you. I pray you give that to us, Lord. Help us to be eager and wanting to learn and putting forth the effort. And God, we pray that you would reward that by giving us something from you that would strengthen us, that would help us, Lord, to be better Christians for you. God, this is not just random information. God, this is stuff that will change our lives. It comes from you, from the all-powerful God, the God that has all knowledge and all wisdom. And God, you're giving that to us. You're giving us some of that wisdom and knowledge that we can use in our decisions on a day-to-day basis. We pray you'd help us with that. Please give me your help as I preach, to have the right words and thoughts of spirit. Please help the guys to hear your voice through the preaching. God, change us, change us, change us to be more like you. And anybody in this room that has it all figured out, is in not any one of us that has arrived and we can't grow anymore, Lord. We've all got room to grow. Help us to do that. Help me to grow and help these guys to grow through your word. Thank you for everybody that's here. Pray you bless our time together. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you for standing. So, guys, what we are dealing with today is purity education. We've been in quite a while. Proverbs 5, right? Solomon's writing this. He's writing it to his son. So he cares. He's invested in it. His heart goes out to his son. And guys, no matter how much Solomon wanted his son to turn out, it was his son's choice, right? He wrote him a whole book of wisdom, but it was his son's choice whether he would use it or not. Guys, you can come to church every week. That's a great thing. You can read your Bible. It's a great thing. And you can learn a lot, which is a great thing. But are you going to use it in your life, right? That's the key. Applying it to your life is so key. Guys, let me just remind you as we will recap this message here in just a minute. This is tough. This is tough. Listen, guys, a lot of guys have fallen to the wrong type of girls. It happens all the time, and it's tough. Listen, you may be a good guy, but it's tough to stay pure, to keep a clean mind, to not be influenced by this filthy world. Listen, guys, the world, George, they just act like it's normal for a guy to have a filthy mind. That's not normal. That is not normal. Maybe a passage that we'll encounter later, we'll go into depth with that later on today. We'll see how it works out. But guys, that's not normal. Hey, guys, look up here. Everybody look up here, wake up, all right? It's not normal for a guy to be clicking on porn. It's not normal for a guy to be listening to trashy music that degrades women. It's not normal for a guy to be watching TV shows where women don't know how to dress. Right. That's not normal. You say, well, everybody in my school will forget that. You're a Christian. Yeah. We live to a higher level. We live to the honor and glory of God. Hey, guys, I don't want you just to be better than some of the worst guys in your school, because that's a pretty low bar to set, right? As I've said before to you guys, you've heard me preach. Listen, Wes, if I get some Fisher-Price basketball hoop out here that's this tall, obviously if I dunk, I don't really think I achieved anything, you know? Come here, little baby. Boom! You know, that doesn't do anything. Yeah. That doesn't do anything. You get out on 10-foot rim and you dunk then, I'd be like, okay, all right, I see you now, you know? Without a ladder, of course. All right, listen. Well, listen, guys, that's a whole different level. And some of us, we measure ourselves, well, I mean, there's some kids in my school, you know, they get suspended every 2 weeks. Well, you should be a lot better than that. Don't measure yourself by that. I'm not saying you're better than anybody. I'm just saying as a Christian, guys, we have Jesus living inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit abiding in our hearts all the time. We can't measure ourselves, well, Brother Tom, come on, man, give me a break. At least I'm not like, you know, one of these guys. Well, that's good. You should be different from them. But you know who you're measuring yourself against? The Lord.
Right.
Whoo! Now, that's a high bar, yeah. Right? That's a steep standard that we have to shoot for. You say, well, I'm not going to achieve that. Well, neither will I. But, you know, we need to strive for that.
Right.
Because why? If we are aiming up here, then we can maybe get closer and closer and closer. And by the way, when we die and go to heaven one day, we will be like him.
Amen.
First John tells us that in other parts of the scripture. But it's tough, guys. It's tough. You may be a good guy, and I'm thankful for that. You may be reading your Bible, praying, faithful to church, trying to do right. We're proud of you guys. But can I remind you? This is going to be tough. So you can't just tune it out and say, yeah, I'm a good guy. You don't need to bang on me about this. I'm a good guy. Yeah, you can be a good guy and struggle with this. Mm-hmm. You can be a good guy and it still be tough on you. But guys, you know how we get through that. You know how you get through tough things in life? Training. Mm-hmm. Training. You work your way up. Hey, guys, why do we have practice in sports? Allen Iverson still doesn't understand. Some of you guys don't even probably know that name. That was a long time. We talking about practice, man. All right. There's a famous clip about that. Listen, practice is important, though. Because you know what? Practice, the pressure is off. But the more you do something, the more you do something, the more you do something, it gets ingrained in your mind and in your body. They call it motor skills. All right. The more you do it, muscle memory. The more you do it, the more your body gets used to it. Guys, when the pressure gets turned on, when that defender is not just like, you know, standing there, dude, are you going to shoot? Because practice is almost over. And that defender is all over your case. And the crowd is there. And the pressure's on. And we're down by two with 10 seconds left. And oh my goodness. If you didn't practice, Aiden, then you're in trouble. Because you have nothing to go back to. You have nothing to hearken back to and say, no, I've worked at this. I've ingrained this in my mind and in my life. I know what I'm supposed to do. Hey, guys. This is what we're doing now. You know what we're doing? We're training you from the Bible. Hey guys, when that girl's not dressed right, this is what you need to be thinking about. This is where you need to be looking away from. This is how you need to conduct yourself as a godly man. Guys, you don't just get to 21 and then, boom. Man, I just had my birthday, I'm 21 now. Man, I feel like a godly man. What happened? It doesn't happen like that. You know how you become a godly man? With work, with practice, with training, with effort, with learning what God says and then putting it into use. Hey, some of you guys, you're watching your favorite athlete and you say, man, how does he do that? How does he make that move? How does he dribble like that? How does he make that shot falling out of bounds? How does he do that? And you watch it and then you rewind, watch it again. And then you go back, man, and then you start working on it. Hey, guys. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But why don't we do that kind of stuff in the Christian life, in the spiritual life? Why don't we look at the Bible and say, oh, okay. God tells me that her end is bitter as wormwood. So, Ethan, that tells me when the girl's dressed inappropriately, but it appeals to my flesh, and I'm thinking, and I'm struggling, I need to be thinking, oh, her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Right. And I'm rehearsing this thing in my mind. Brother Tom, what is that like? That's like rewinding that clip of Steph Curry or LeBron or whoever you like to watch. You, oh, that's how they do that. And then you learn how to do it and you apply it to your life. You start working on it. Hey, guys, listen. And by the way, all those guys we talked about, they're imperfect. They may be good at this sport or good at this thing, but they're imperfect. They mess up all the time. Can I tell you, when you open your Bible, it's perfect. Yeah, there's no errors in it. There's no mistakes in it. Every word of God is pure. It's perfect, and it's exactly what you need. Right. And by the way, since I'm in the neighborhood, that's also a good thing to practice when you read the Gospels of Jesus' life. Watch him. Hey, guys, he's the perfect example for everything we're trying to do, okay? All right, so we're in Purity Education 101. We've talked about the real story, which is not what the world throws at us, right? It's what God says. Her end is bitter, verse 4. Her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. What do we need to do about it, guys? We need a removal that's serious. That's verses 7 and 8, especially verse 8. Remove thy way far from her. Guys, you can't stand up to that temptation and just say, no, I'm strong. I can take it. I can look at these dirty things. I can hang around cheap girls, and I'll be okay. No, you won't. You need to remove your way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. Do you have anybody in your life that you know is not right for you, that when they coming, you need that when they start coming, you need to start going? Think about it. And if you don't, verses 9 through 11 talk about the ruin that spreads. Very serious consequences can show up in your life. Your honor will be out the window. Your life can be shortened by the stress of it. Your payments go, hush money, all that kind of stuff. STDs can show up, verse number 11. It's serious stuff. And then last week we dealt with point number 4, the regret about the spiritual. This is verses 12 through 14. I'll recap a little of this. We'll get into new territory today. Verse 12 through 14. And say, how have I hated instruction, my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. As this guy, George, he has heard the real story. He's been taught right. He didn't remove his way when he should have. And then he has ruin that spreads in his physical body, in his finances, in his emotional well-being, and all the different things that we dealt with, his testimonies out the window. And now he looks back at those times, Kevin. He says, I sat in church. I listened to the instruction. I heard them read God's law to me and what I should have done and how I should have lived. And I didn't listen. And guys, what is his reaction to it? He regrets that. Hey, guys. Will that be you? Will that be me years down the line that we say, man, the Bible was so clear. It was laying it out. I needed to remove my way far from her. Why didn't I listen? He regrets it. He says, how dumb was I? How stupid was I not to listen? Guys, when God lays out his truth and we say no to it, you know what's going to happen? You're going to regret that down the line. I know it's popular nowadays for people to roll out on Jesus and backstab him and go post on social media about how happy and liberated and free they feel. But guys, that doesn't last because the consequences of sin show up and there's going to be regret in their heart and saying, what did I do? I was so dumb not to listen. We talked about he was furious against the lessons. He forsook listening. And verse number 14, guys, he felt just out of verse number 14, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. What does that mean? What does that mean? How did he feel about the church?
He felt like everyone was against him, but they're not.
Exactly. Now he's realizing that. Guys, he's like, man, everybody's against me. Hey, guys, by the way, I was thinking of this. I've known guys, you know how our church works. They usually, kids start coming when they're young, right? They come at an early age. They go to junior boys and all that. And then they grow up. They come to this class. But guys, I've had a lot of situations where kids have come for a long time. They grow up in these classes and we're cool, man. They're nice kids. They learn, they get in this class and we're still on a, I have a good connection with them. But Ethan, I start preaching against something they don't like, they don't agree with, they don't like. And then I become the bad guy. Hey guys, you know, the same thing happened in the Bible. Paul said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth in Galatians? He went there, started that church, preached the gospel. They got saved. After he moved on to another place, some other people came in and said, Paul wasn't teaching you right. You got to keep the law. You got to do all this stuff if you want to be saved. And Paul writes back to them saying, no, 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 get back on track. And they got mad at him. Hey, guys, but I was thinking about this, right? Guys, we don't change the message when new guys come into class. It doesn't work that way. I tell you guys, if I don't think we had recordings back then, you know, at least podcasts and all that kind of stuff. But 10, 12, 15 years ago, we were preaching the same stuff in this class that we are right now. Mm-hmm. Kevin, it's not that some guy shows up, as soon as he walks in the door, Kevin, come here. Is this guy kidding? We're going to bang his music all day long, man. You're gonna hate the day you ever walked in this class. Are you kidding me? But you know what? It's so dumb that we think now somebody's against me when they've been preaching the same thing all along. And you know why we preach it? Not because we hate you, because we love you. Hey guys, that music will mess your life up. We've seen it happen. Why are we preaching against purity? Why are we preaching for purity education? Why are we against what the world is throwing at you? Why are we trying to help you with this? Because a lot of guys have fallen to it and messed their lives up. Well, some guys, man, and I don't even know people's situations in this room, but man, he knows I got a girlfriend. He knows I put my hand on her. Why is he preaching against me? Because you need to get away from that now before you mess your life up. And it doesn't matter if it's you, me, or whoever. The word of God is true, and we're not going to change it for this person or that person. Right. It's true. And you know what we need to say? Not, man, I don't like that. I'm gonna go somewhere else where they're not so against me. We need to submit to what God says. It's not me. It's not Brother Tut. It's not Pastor. People make it too personal with us and say, oh, Pastor's preaching against my sin. Brother Tut, I know he said that because of me. It has nothing to do with that. It's God calling you out and you're getting angry. You think you're getting angry at the preacher. You're getting angry at God. Take it up with him. And we all need to submit to what God says. You know what that means? Put ourselves under it. Put ourselves under it. Say, God, I'm going to do what you say, and I'm going to listen to what you say, and it'll work out. This guy thought he was in the midst of his enemies. He thought everyone was against him. They weren't against him, guys. Listen, when you're in church and we call something out, even if you happen to be guilty of it, we're not against you.
Yep.
We're not against you. We're trying to help you. Amen. We're saying, hey, guys, if I go to the doctor and the doctor says, Brother Tom, tongue. You have this issue in your physical body. I don't look at him and say, I came here to be encouraged. And that's what you're telling me? I will never come back to this hospital again. Forget you! And walk out. You say, that's crazy. If he tells you there's something wrong with you, he's trying to help you. Mm-hmm. Same thing with us. Same thing with us spiritually. Guys, if something is not right in our life and God calls us out, it's because he's trying to help us. He's trying to get us on the right track. He's trying to heal us. It's important. The regret about the spiritual. Why does this person have a flip mindset? Because that's what the devil wants them to think. Hey guys, that's what the devil wants them to think. Listen, you're young, but you may have a time in your life. Maybe you start to drift a little bit in your life. Hey, you know what you need to do? Get back in your Bible. Get back on your knees.
Amen.
Get back in church and listen. And just listen for the voice of God. Say, God, speak to me. Whatever it is. If it's something, if it's this area of my life, there should be no areas that are closed off. Hey guys, you shouldn't walk in class or walk in church and say, George, if they say one word about music, I am turning them off right then. Then you know what you're doing? You're saying that is more important than God. If they say one word about the language that comes out of my mouth, I'm turning them off. Then you say, that's more important, God, I don't care what you have to say. That's a big deal, guys. The regret about the spiritual, the devil will get your mind all twisted up. I gave you this reference last week, 2 Timothy 2, 25-26. It says, as pastors, ministers, in meekness, we're instructing those that oppose themselves. Hey guys, when someone does that, when they stop coming to church because they get angry because they got called out about their sin, who are they hurting? They're hurting themselves. Guys, they're hurting themselves, their family. They're hurting those people that they should be influencing to come to church. They're influencing them away from church now. Hey guys, it doesn't help you. It hurts you in the long run. The regret about the spiritual. All right, guys, let's get into point number 5. The rule God has set. The rule God has set. This is verses 15 through 19. All right. The rule that God has set. All right. You say this is purity education, right? So what do I need to know? This stuff will help you in the battle, guys. The real story. It's not what the world throws at me. It's what God says. I need to remove my way far from her. If I don't, there's going to be ruin that spreads, and I'm going to regret the chances I had, the spiritual chances I had, and they put it out there. They told me the truth. They instructed me. They reproved me in a gentle way, but I turned it away. What's going to be the result of that? I'm going to regret it in the long run. Say, I was so dumb. Why didn't I listen? Guys, is that going to be you? Is that, Jaden, I pray that it's nobody in this room, but will that be some of us 3 years from now, 5 years from now? Man, I wish I would have listened, but now I got my life messed up. I'm paying child support. This woman left me. Hey guys, I don't want that to happen to any guy in this room. I don't. But you've got to make the right choices. You've got to make the right choices, and you got to have God helping you. The regret about the spiritual. The rule that God has set. Point number 5. Verse number 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind, as a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. This is the rule that God has set, guys. Listen, this is what God wants from us as young men. You say, all right, you've told me what not to do. I need to remove my way far from her, and what not to think. I need to understand the real story and all that kind of stuff. And if I don't, this will happen and this will happen. I get all that, Brother Tom. But what does God want me to do? It's in this section right here. The rule that God has set. Can I just break it down for you very simply, and then we'll unpack it piece by piece? Hey, guys, this is the rule that God has set. God wants you to stay pure till you get married. And then he wants you to be devoted and faithful to that one woman the rest of your life.
Amen.
That's it. Hey, guys, I love how junior boys used to present it to the kids in that class, and maybe you've heard this, maybe you haven't. But when I was helping out in there years and years ago, they would say, one man, one wife, for life. That's it. That's the whole story right there. One man, one wife, for life. That's marriage, guys. So that's the rule that God has set. Now, in this section, first of all, he gives an illustration. Verse number 15, he says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, running waters out of thine own well. It's okay. I kind of don't expect this, but does anybody know what a cistern is? You're like, is that like sister, but plural? No, it's not. Okay. Does anybody know what cistern is? It's okay. All right. That's fine. A cistern, guys, is a water container. A water container. Okay. And he says, drink waters out of thine own cistern. You understand that? So you're not supposed to drink it from somebody else's. Okay. This could be in a small form, like a canteen type of thing. This could also be that they would have this huge tank that would usually be underground for cooling purposes that they would have on their property at their house, okay? And they would get the rainwater to go in that thing, and then that's what they would use for drinking water, okay? So it's a water container. God says, drink waters out of thine own cistern. It's an illustration about a water container, okay? So what does the cistern mean?
Water.
All right, we're alive. Praise God. All right. Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Guys, the last one is in verse 17, but how many times does the word own, O-W-N, pop up? This is hugely important. How many times does that pop up in these verses?
In verse 17?
15, 16, 17. What you got, Ethan? Three times, guys. It pops up three times. That's very important. It's an illustration about a water container, and it brings up the word own. It's individual. Drink waters out of thine own cistern. Running waters out of thine own well. Verse 17, let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Guys, what is that saying? Over and over and over and over and over again. George, you drink water out of your water container, not anybody else's. I drink water out of my water container, nobody else's. And you're thinking, Great. That's going to change my life. We're getting there. We're getting to the point of it all, guys. But you've got to understand the illustration first. He's saying drink waters out of your own cistern, your own water container, and it's individual. Don't have somebody else do it. Guys, can I tell you, look up here, can I tell you that I've known of people that have gotten sick, very sick, for months, time frame, because they drank out of someone else's water cup. Some of you guys are like, oh no, I'm feeling convicted. Brother Tom's my enemy now. Listen, can I tell you, that's a dangerous thing to do though. If it's your family, that's probably fine. You know, some of those things. If you die in a thirst and your best friend has a drink and you're over there like, you know, okay, maybe the waterfall, even though you guys backwash, like that's a problem. I need to preach on that one week. Anyway, all right, listen. But can I tell you, especially in a sports thing, so in baseball, right?
In baseball, since I'm familiar with that, you have your dugouts, which is basically the bench where you sit in between the innings. And then you have your fence up in front of you. You have a water cooler over there. And what, you know, now people usually have their own water bottles and that kind of stuff, their Gatorade water bottles, all that kind of stuff. You look really cool, you know? But back in the day, we just had like these little cups, okay? And what you would do, you take a drink, and then you shove it in between the chain link fence.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody would do. Okay?
So you come back in between innings,
and there's like 50 of these water cups stuffed in the fence, and you're like, I think that's mine. You know, it's like that game that we played during youth conference, the matching, and you're just like, I think it's popcorn. You know, you have no clue. And you're just like, I think that's probably me. Can I tell you, I know of a situation that a guy did that, got the wrong one, drank water. A couple days later, he started feeling really bad. This thing affected him for months. He had no energy. He could barely eat. He kept getting sick. Like for months, he couldn't continue his classes because of that. Can I tell you, that's a dangerous thing to do, to drink after somebody? So some of you need to repent. No, I'm just kidding. But that's a dangerous thing to do. So what is this talking about? Brother Tom, I appreciate the advice. I'll try not to drink after other people. But what are we talking about today? I thought we were talking about purity. Yeah, we still are. But what does this have to do with a water container and only drinking out of your own, not anybody else's? Hey guys, it's an illustration, right? An illustration takes a similar truth and it shows you, okay, you see how this is true? Well, that's what we mean over here. And it kind of merges. You say, I get it now. It shows you it from a different angle. All right, let's put the pieces together. So verse 15, drink waters out of your own cistern. So that's an illustration of a water container. We emphasize that it's your own, two times in verse 15, one time in verse 17, only your own. This is a big deal. Don't share it with anybody. At the end of verse 17, not strangers with thee. George, I won't mess with it no more, but I'm not going to take it some stranger, hey bro, you want George's drink? Here, try this. And then George, you want it back? He'd be like, you can keep it, right? Like, I don't want it anymore, right?
Hey guys, he's saying, don't let somebody else be drinking this thing. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna hold it now. He's like, Brother Tom's gonna grab it again, all right? He says, not strangers with thee. So guys, what in the world are we talking about? Guys, this is where it's identified. This is where the illustration, we point to the truth of it and say, oh, I get it now. Verse number 18, I'll read it and then you tell me if you know what it's talking about. He says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. All right, guys. So I've been reading this chapter and I don't quite understand this part. I'm kidding. Can you put the illustration together for me, Kevin?
So you mentioned the whole water illustration. So when you marry somebody, you're going to love and stay devoted to that person. That's what God has planned for you. So, the whole thing, like, what's yours is hers, what's hers is hers. You guys are one now. There's no reason for you to be out and about looking for anything else outside of your marriage.
Perfect. Guys, we're talking about, right, the water container. It should be only your own. Guys, in the whole realm of, I'll just say this once, sexual pleasure and all this, you should have one person that you do that with called your wife, and that's it. You don't share her with anybody. She don't share you with anybody. That's how wicked and nasty our world has gotten, guys. He's saying it should be only your own, nobody else's. Hey, guys, it's a big deal. Let me just testify. It's a big deal and very, very important that when you stand on that stage, guys, listen, and this is the reason why we're preaching this, but you need to be pure. You shouldn't have to think back in your mind that you were with this girl and you were with her and you clicked on this nasty picture. And you shouldn't have all that going through your mind when you're standing on the stage saying, I do. You shouldn't think, well, I kissed her and man, I made out with her. That's stuff you shouldn't have to have in your mind. Well, how do I avoid that, Brother Tom? By your choices right now.
Amen.
Right now. Guys, you can't walk up again. You can't walk up on that stage and Kevin, we have the miracle mist that you walk through and it just washes away all those memories. We don't have that because that doesn't exist. Listen, guys, your memories are going to stick with you, all right? So he's saying you should drink water out of your own cistern, only your own, nobody else's. And he uses the illustration of saying this is where it hits home. You should only rejoice with the wife of your youth. That's what the picture is talking about, guys. Listen, in that realm of intimacy, of that realm of that special physical connection, it should be only with one person, your wife, and that's it. No one else. And I was about to say this a moment ago. You need to be pure and not have that stuff in your mind. But guys, let me flip it around. Can I tell you what a treasure, what a valuable thing it is, what a precious thing it is? Ethan, to know that the person I'm marrying has not messed around. I don't have to worry about all these memories. What if this guy shows up? What if this guy comes in town? What if this guy calls her? Oh my goodness, is she gonna go back to him? And guys, to know that you're marrying someone that's pure, a virgin, is a huge deal, a huge deal. And again, as I've said throughout this study, don't expect it from her if you ain't doing it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't subscribe to this whole thing, well, boys will be boys. That's stupidity.
Yeah.
Okay? Listen, you have a choice just like a young lady has a choice. She needs to stay pure, and some of us guys are real good at that. Yeah, she needs to stay pure. So do you, bucko.
Right.
All right? So if you want someone that's pure, you better be pure now with your life. It's an illustration about a water container. It's individual. It should be only your own. It should be only your own. It should be only your own. And what is it identified with? It's talking about your wife. Guys, in that area, again, of that pleasure, of that intimacy, it should be only with your wife. Let me hit one more thing here in the passage, and then we'll start going to some other references. Guys, notice it says here, let thy fountain be blessed, verse 18. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Guys, that is so key. I would suggest to you, you underline that word wife or circle it. Hey guys, what does it not say? It does not say girlfriend. Does it say girlfriend? No, I'm sorry, it says wife. Does it say your fiance? It does not, it says your wife. Guys, what does that mean? I should not be holding hands with, I should not be hugging, I should not be kissing, I should not go any farther than that at all with someone that's not my wife.
Right.
Hey guys, we live in the day and age that well, we're official now, which means, you know, 2 days ago you put online, we're dating. And then you think you have access to everything. Hello, hello, hello. Guys, that's the day we live in. Well, Brother Tom, that's how the people in my school are. Guys, that doesn't matter. They're not Christians.
Yeah.
Well, they go to church every once in a while. They're not acting like Christians. The Bible's clear. It's clear cut. Hey, guys, when you become, I want to bash it, when you become quote unquote official, which is officially nothing, all right, that does not give you access. Well, now I hug her and now I can put my hand on any part of her body. No, it does not.
Yeah.
Not in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. Well, the world, forget the world. We're not measuring ourselves against them. We're measuring ourselves against what God wants us to do. He says, you don't have any right to that if she ain't your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And not only the girlfriend thing, you know, well, we've been dating a long time. How long? 2 weeks, you know? No, man, we go way back, you know, back to early July of this year, you know? No, that doesn't count. And also, guys, there's another lie that's been permeated where people, when they get engaged, then they think, oh, well, we're close enough, Kevin. I mean, we're right on the doorstep, but you ain't inside the door.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
We've got to, guys, I have seen this happen repeatedly. Christian people. And by the way, since I'm in the neighborhood, pastor's banging on this about my turn right now. All right?
Sir.
Guys, it should not be that you get engaged with a young lady. That's a great occasion, a joyous occasion. But then you guys, engagement pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, was there some ceremony that I didn't know about? Did you guys sneak off and have some ceremony with pastor and a few selected friends around and you actually got married? Oh, you didn't? Then why are your hands on her?
Yeah.
It's not okay. Guys, 1 Corinthians 7:1 says it's good for a man not to touch a woman.
Right.
So what is that about? You say, Brother Tom, I'm not used to this. Well, the Bible's clear cut, guys.
Yeah.
We don't need to measure ourselves against the world. Well, you know, Jaden, people may think, well, dude, things in my school are totally different than this. I get that. Things in my family may be totally different than this. Things in my neighborhood. But we're not worried about that. We're trying to measure ourselves against what God wants, the rule that God has set. He says we should not have any part of that if that young lady is not our wife. So guys, that's not okay. Well, we're engaged. We're almost married. Mm. You're not married.
Mm. Yeah.
That doesn't, well, no, we're engaged. We're almost there, but you're not there. Are we there yet? No. You know? Guys, that's not okay. I have seen that. And we can laugh at it and kind of poke fun at it. I've seen that though.
Mm.
They've grown up in church. They get engaged, and then I'm thinking, what are y'all doing? That's not okay. That's not okay. Well, we're really close, but you're not there. Well, she's almost my wife, but she's not officially.
Yeah.
You want to talk about official? That's official.
Yeah.
Guys, when you get this thing, that's official. When you say I do, that's official. And he says, I now pronounce you husband and wife. That's official! Not some Facebook. I'm in a relationship. Great for you. And then the next day, I'm not in a relationship. You know, it turns that quickly. What does that even mean? Guys, getting married, that's the big deal. He says, rejoice with the wife of thy, not your girlfriend and not your fiance. Hey guys, are you going to change the rules when you get close to marriage? Well, really, Brother Tom, I've seen it happen, guys. And I'm not happy about it. But guys get engaged and then and more than that, and I'm thinking, what are we doing? What are we doing? Well, I want to touch her, obviously. Obviously, I get that. I understand that. But guys, I've dealt with the same things. I've dealt with those same feelings, those same passions. You can't give in to them. You can't change. Listen, all right. Some of you guys called to preach. We'll see what kind of ministry God has for you in the future and all that. But listen, if you violate those laws, then never, ever, ever, ever preach it to these teenagers again and say, keep your hands off. Because obviously you didn't.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Kevin, how could I do that? How could before I married my wife, I'm touching and kissing and doing all this stuff and then say, some of you teenagers, you need to stop touching. I better shut my mouth before God sends a lightning bolt down on my head. Because I deserve it.
Right.
That's hypocrisy. Whew. All right. back to our regularly scheduled programming, all right? The illustration is the water container. It's individual. Make it your own. It should be your own. By the way, guys, do you want some girl in the future that you start liking her, dating her, and you talk to her? So have you ever kissed somebody? Yes. Does that not rip your heart out and stomp on it? Have you ever, you know, gone further than that? Well, yeah. Hey, I'm not saying God can't forgive people and restore people. God does do that. Thank God.
Amen.
But would that not be hard to deal with? Let me throw something else at your way. Guys, and again, God can restore people, forgive people, get them back on track, and use them in a great way. That's true. But since you guys are young and you haven't messed up in this way, take it like this. I had some situations like this when I was single, all right? There's girls that have messed up in the past, but now they're trying to do right. And Ethan, they were real nice girls, very attractive girls, seemed like they were trying to do right and all this kind of stuff, but I know that they had messed up in the past, okay? And Aiden and I started thinking, man, what am I supposed to do with this? They're trying to do right, and all, you know, there's some signs pointing in the right direction. Guys, I'm talking personally now. This is Brother Tom for his own life, but I just throw it your way for you to think about it. Personally, I could not deal with somebody, Aiden, that had messed around in that way because, as I was kind of alluding to a few minutes ago, Wes, if their old boyfriend came back in town, how could I not be like a jealous monster and say, watching my wife like a hawk all the time? You say, you should trust her. Yeah, I agree. But guys, how could I not? If that guy's trying to move back in on my territory, how could I not go crazy about that? Mm-hmm. I had to make this decision in my late teens, early 20s because of those situations I was talking about. And I'm thinking, no, I can't. I'm not saying, guys, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying those people are trash and that we can't touch them, we can't deal with them. I'm not saying that. I'm saying for me, I'll treat them nice, I'll try to help them and all that. But as far as dating them and going that direction, no way. Why? Because I couldn't deal with that. I'm talking about my life, okay? Aiden, I don't know how you could deal with something like that. I don't know. How could you deal with that? If the lady has messed around a couple times and then, did you hear? Her old boyfriend's back, man. I know some guys deal with that. God bless them and more power to them, but I couldn't deal with that. All right. I know that was like really deep, but seriously. Maybe you need to consider those things.
Amen.
And again, if it's God's will for you to marry somebody and they have messed up in the past, God can forgive, God can get back things on track, and God can give you the grace to deal with it. But I'm just talking about in my life, I talked to the Lord about it, prayed, and I said, nope, I can't do that. Can't do that. The rule that God has set, it's a water container, it should be only your own. And what are we talking about? It's talking about your wife, not your girlfriend, not your fiance. Let's see. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians. I want to hit this one quick, and then I really want to land on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll hit this one quick, hopefully, then get you to 1 Thessalonians, and we'll shut it down for today. So guys, again, we're just hammering home this point. It's not just Proverbs 5 that tells us this. It's all throughout the Bible, okay? 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 1 is very famous, that we quote all the time. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay? So we shouldn't deal with that. Guys, you shouldn't be putting your arm around them, hugging them. Oh, so great to see you. And all that kind of stuff. We need to avoid that. We need to get away from that. Verse number 2 is what I'm trying to get to, though. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. All right? God doesn't want us messing up like that, right? Fornication is sexual sin. He's saying, okay, to avoid that, let every man have his, what is that? Own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Aiden, isn't that very reminiscent of what we just touched on in Proverbs 5? Own. This pops up 2 times in one verse here. The man should have his own wife, the woman should have her own husband. Hey guys, it should be individual. It shouldn't be something that, well, yeah, I'm married to her, but I know she's cheated with this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. That is not what God intended. That is not God's plan. All right? Let every man have his own wife. All right, 1 Thessalonians. So you're in Corinthians. Keep going to the right. A few more books. You'll find 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is an astounding passage, and this is where we'll end today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3. There's a lot of stuff in here, guys. Very strong and very similar to a lot of the things in Proverbs 5 that we're dealing with. So 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 3. You guys got there? Can you help Karen, Georgie, coming closer?
Can you help him? I just want to make sure everybody sees it. You're close. You're close. Can you help me? Thank you.
All right, just want to make sure everybody sees this, because this is very, very key. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Kevin may need some assistance. Good. Got it? George found it. Perfect. Thank you, guys. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll begin in verse number 3. And like I said, we'll explain a few of these verses to get you out of here. Verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Guys, it's saying it's God's will for you not to fall into sexual sin, but you for you to be clean and pure and holy. That's what that verse is saying, flat out, clear, straight up. Okay? That's what God's will is. Again, I'll say this one last time. If people mess up, girls mess up, or even guys mess up, can God forgive them, get them back on track, give them another chance? Absolutely. Our God is a forgiving God. Thank God. But you know what God's best for you is? For you to stay pure till you get married, and then you stay devoted to that one woman. Bam. That's it. He says, what's the will of God? The will of God is what God wants. It's God's plan for us. What is it that you abstain from fornication? Hey, guys, I feel like preaching right now. Listen. God's plan for you is not for you to click on junk. God's plan for you is not for you to have a filthy mind. God's plan for you is not to be messing with this girl, messing with that girl, and messing around with all this filth and scum of the world. We're not supposed to live like that. Well, man, all the guys out in the world, this is how they act. What is God's will for you? It's that you stay away from that garbage. God's will for you is for you to look away when the girl's not dressed right. God's will for you is for you to stay pure and holy and right, yeah. Not to click on these movies and watch these things where the people aren't dressed appropriately at all. Guys, by the way, you should never watch some movie or some show where it shows a man and woman in bed, yeah, with no clothes on. Are we kidding? Brother Tom, that's just normal. No, it's not normal. The world is filthy. And as Christians, we can't let that stuff into us unless we get a filthy mind. God's will for us is to abstain from fornication. I need to shut it down after these verses. Verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that's his body, in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, as the unbelievers which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Man, I would like to spend a lot longer in this passage, so we're just going to pick it up next week. All right? So when we begin preaching next week, I'm going to say, turn to 1 Thessalonians, and all you guys are like, we're done? No, we're not done. We're going back to Proverbs 5 in the study, but there's a bunch of good stuff here in that little section, and I only just like whet you guys' appetite, so we got a lot more. All right, let's shut it down.